I'm Matt Katz. Welcome back to The Takeaway. Due to the pandemic, musicians around the country have had to figure out creative ways to perform while in quarantine, as venues have shuttered due to COVID-19. Some artists have had to cancel entire tours, like Chicano Batman. That's Color My Life, a song off Chicano Batman's latest album, Invisible People. The Los Angeles-based band released this album earlier this month during quarantine. It's the group's fourth studio album, and it's musically different from their previous work. So we connected with members of the group to hear how they're dealing with the release of the album amid the global pandemic. I spoke with Bardo Martinez, lead singer of the group.
Hey, Matt.
And Eduardo Arenas, the bass player.
What's happening?
So I've got to start the way I start all conversations these days. How are you both doing? How are you holding up given the quarantine?
Well, on top of quarantine itself, we both became dads. Well, Bardo is already a dad, but I became first-time dad. So that's taken a whole new different twist on this reality. And to tell you the truth, it's been a blessing to be indoors and watching the baby's growth every minute while simultaneously watching the growth of our album out in the public. Everyone's been really receptive. The reviews have been great. And the public and our fans have taken on a really good response to our change in sound and direction of the vision and the aesthetic of our sound.
That's great. Congratulations on the babies. That's wonderful. I think I heard one in the background there. How have you been hearing from fans? How have you been interacting with them? You said you've gotten a good response.
Yeah, we've, just basically Instagram, Twitter, and, I guess most of it is really positive. And we've been doing like Instagram lives as well. And, Carlos was teaching guitar and, we were all just kind of doing our thing on it. So we're trying to like adapt to the circumstances.
We did a Reddit chat. That was awesome. Like a Q&A. We basically started using a lot of tools that have been there for a very long time, but it takes a pandemic for us to evolve, digitally sometimes so that we can have access to our fan base and their opinions.
Have you learned anything about your fan base that you wouldn't have otherwise realized?
I think the most positive thing is that our fan base has been doing good with the change in our direction. We've put out a few singles and like Pink Elephant, and it was almost on purpose because it's such a different, like a hip hop J Dilla type of track. And a lot of the fans were talking smack, having no idea what the other 12 songs on the record were going to sound like, but we did. So we just kind of stayed confident and just kind of like tested the waters. I like when people, don't like what we're doing and they vocalize it, because those same people came back and said, you know what? My bad. This is amazing.
I'm curious about the economics of the fact that you've unfortunately had to cancel your tour and you're not performing at festivals like Coachella. Can you give us some insight on what kind of financial hit the band and other bands take because of something like this?
Well, touring bands are like truck drivers in the sense that you don't get paid until you go out and get the job done in different cities. We drop off the music. We're used to not getting paid for 4 months at a time, until we go and we go on tour. So it's not that we felt the hit so much now as we might feel it later on in the fall and early next year in case the second wave hits. I think too, it's unfortunate. I was just reading something this morning. I got like a Bandcamp email or Bands in Town email saying that if venues don't open for the rest of this year, like 90% of them, local venues will go out of business. It's a lot more serious than we think, but you know what, man, it's all we can do is stay positive. Honestly, I think if we look at the bright side of things, we will be on tour in no time, and the audience would have had a relationship with our record And there's no better sweet feeling than playing at a venue and people singing along to your songs, making you work less, you know, and just enjoying the reflection and the energy that the crowds bring over to you, and then just serve it right back to them. So for us, we're just looking at everything on the bright side. It's better than having gone on the road, you know, right after Coachella and releasing our album a few weeks later without everybody really getting to know the material. That's a definite plus side for us.
Like, I feel like this is really going to be like when the Berlin Wall fell, you know, in the 80s. Like, it's going to be like everybody's just going to pour into the streets and into the venues once all is lifted. I mean, it's just going to be like 1969 all over again.
Much of your music has political themes, particularly in your last album, Freedom is Free. And some songs in this album are also can also be described as political, including Invisible People. You sing the concept of race was implanted inside your brain. Can I ask who are the invisible people in this song? And are those the people who are, as you say, taking over?
Invisible people is everybody in society, the way I look at it, you know. It, to me, this whole thing was about really putting a question mark on the concept of race, because, you know, every racial categorization is a concept. It's a construct that has a long history. The idea that, you know, this person is, you know, white, you know, has a long history to it, because everyone really has a past, and every, you know, there is no such thing as this, that, or the other. Everybody has migration pattern where their family came from here and they came from, and you know, and at the end of the day, everybody's actually more similar than they are different.
I see it pretty much directly in a different way. I mean, everybody has their own interpretation because there are so many layers. I see it as like, you know, if ICE wants to deport a lot of the undocumented in this country, then our produce is gonna rot. Those are the invisible people that make the wheel turn.
Wanted to play a clip from one other song called Manuel's Story. One night I had to flee and leave my land. My older brother stole some heavy contraband. The gift for him, he wasn't there, they came for me. The drug cartel made me a refugee.
It's just a story my uncle told me. Like, literally, I was just hanging out. We were just hanging out in Panama. You know, he was just telling me stories about, you know, the drug trade in Panama. I mean, literally the song is exactly how he told it to me. You know, guns blazing and all, so.
Are there other ways in which your experiences as Latinos fuel your music? Is it part of everything that you do?
I mean, I look in the mirror and I see who I see, and there's nothing I could do about that, you know, so I embrace it. I grew up in the city of LA, you know, inner city. You know, the cities don't have, inner cities don't have resources for education. You know, we don't have resources for infrastructure. And I didn't have a choice about that. That's just the reflection of my reality. And that's the lens that I wear every day that I exist in this world. I didn't have a choice. That's how I came up to be. You know, and I think when we express, at least we express our art, that we have no choice. We don't know how to see the world any other way than the way we've lived it. And for us, we've overcame a lot of those obstacles, and it's enlightening to be in a position to be artists in this country as Latinos, and to be able to express messages of love and positivity and harmony, you know, and not necessarily be always about on the defense about being political, you know. And I think it's awesome to have a fan base that is also following that same vibration and opening their minds to shifts in sound and vision, the ones that we're providing. And I think that's an awesome thing that we get that platform now to, because you know what, we're not the only ones doing this. You know, we're not like, you know, the first Latino band to, you know, be making it. We come in waves. There's a ton behind us. There's been a ton ahead of us. And we're just part of this bigger narrative of Latinos, you know, and mainstream America. And I think we've always been strong. And I think now we just like, you know, making it easier on ourselves by, I don't know, having more success.
Yeah, for me, it's a big part of like a big part of all this is to like complicate the idea of what quote unquote Latino is. Like I said, like I was telling you earlier, you know, when I hear the term, you know, whatever it may be, black, white, etc., they're just things in quotations, you know, because everybody has such a diverse past. Like literally, I did my DNA test. You know, my mom is from Cartagena, Colombia. My dad's Mexican. You know, so I grew up with a very like heterogeneous identity, you know, like it's not just one thing for me, and it's not black and white for me, you know what I mean? And I kind of look at things from that perspective. You know, I did my DNA test. I'm like 20% African. I'm like 30% European, 40% indigenous, something like that, you know? And so it's like, there's a lot there, like literally, like I'm from everywhere, like genetically speaking, you know what I mean? And I think, that's how I always felt, you know, interacting with from grade school till now, you know. I've never really fit in anywhere because of how I guess maybe different I see the world because of maybe because I, you know, have I've grown up with different with all these different like ways of being, right? This kind of like I said, this kind of like mixed kind of thing. And I think all of us are mixed, and that most of us have this kind of very like mixed identity. But I think, you know, it's obviously we all know that it's very easy to put things in boxes, you know, and to like categorize things and make it easy and palatable and sellable, et cetera, within the context of, you know, of our society. Right. You know, we're here to sell things, you know. And so anyways, I guess for me, it's all about changing what it is that people are perceiving. Like, and that's what I love about music, you know. I love The Doors because Jim Morrison was just like, he was wild, you know? Jim Morrison was trying to just flip the script because he didn't feel right, you know what I mean? Growing up in middle America, you know, his father was a Marine or something like that. And he was rebelling, you know what I mean? For me, rebellion is very, very important. Like, that's how society moves and changes and hopefully more moves towards something better.
Your sounds can't be fit into a box and have that same heterogeneous nature that you were just speaking of. It's very reflective of that same thing.
Yeah, or homogenous, right? We're not trying to be homogenous. We're trying to be the opposite. Or it's like it comes from all over the place, and that's just kind of like the history of music. Period. You know, some there might be a genre that might have a name like disco, but disco itself, like whoa, it's like such a mix of like Latin percussion and like, you know, all the beautiful music that was made at the time.
Also, too, if we're like still continuing to try to fit within genres, we just make it easier for other groups to categorize us, you know, and doesn't do much to evolve, doesn't do much to move forward as an artist or as a people.
Yeah, totally. And like going off of that, like they're just the new generation of musicians are just like, don't really operate within that dynamic anymore. Like there's just all like there's just so many kids that are making amazing music, you know, that are in their early 20s, and it's just like they take from hip hop, they take from rock, they take from, you know, all these different, you know, genres and elements. And you know, when you go to a show, it's just like a wave of very culturally diverse people, you know, somewhere like Madison, Wisconsin, you know, like that exists, you know. We may not see that on TV, we may not hear that on the media, but cultural diversity is everywhere, you know, and you see that like when you're actually on the street, when you're in a restaurant, when you're in a, you know, we're all over America. And that's, I mean, for me, that was a big eye-opener, like just traveling throughout the country and touring and whatnot is like literally like what they show us on the media of like racial dynamics in this country is not necessarily true. Like, you know, there might be this struggle on the surface level where, you know, people like are triggered by certain things, but there's another level where people are communicating and living with each other every day.
Lead vocalist Bardo Martinez and bass player Eduardo Arenas from Chicano Batman, thank you so much for speaking with me and for sharing your music with us. Really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, man.
Thank you.